All right, family, welcome out to another Wednesday night where we get to dig into God's word. I'm telling you, it's the word of God that makes us free. Remember what Jesus says, you shall know the truth, that's his word, and that truth will make you free. Anytime you're lacking freedom, always get back to the truth, and that is God's word. I want to finish something up tonight. You know, my series I've been dealing with all month long here in the month of March of fact over friction. In fact, you know, or friction. Which one is it going to be? Which one are you going to hold to? Are you going to allow the facts of life that kind of come in and the friction that it creates to dominate your life? Or will you respond to those matters and that tension God's way? So we're going to wrap that up here on tonight. But just before I get into that, let me remind you of a few things. Again, coming up shortly is the most significant time in all of human history. And that is the day we celebrate the resurrection of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a day for the entire earth to celebrate. So I want to encourage you to come out to be with us in person on that Sunday, April the 4th. We're having two worship experiences at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. so we can have, you know, all the spacing and social distancing. Wear your mask, wear your face shield, wear your gloves, whatever you're comfortable with. But let's come out and let's worship God and make it an Easter to remember. And then also you can join us the day before that on that Saturday, April the 3rd. We're going to have a time together to pray at our administrative offices at 8 a.m. And then after that, we're going out just to have some time to love on our city, because our heart is this: we are equipped to help all people to grow fully in Christ. So we go into the community just to share God's amazing love. So you are welcome to join us Saturday, April the 3rd at our administrative offices. And then don't forget this Sunday. Come on, somebody say it with me, this Sunday. Come on, this is Palm Sunday, and I got a Palm Sunday treat for you. Got a special surprise for you that I think you're really going to enjoy. So make sure that you're tuned in at either 9 or 11, or come out with us at 9 o'clock so that you can get in on this. It's going to be a blessing as we start Holy Week, Passion Week, the most significant time of the year. Hope that you're in on it. Let's go ahead and join ourselves together now in prayer, and let's get ready for some good stuff. Father, we bless you. We love you and honor you. Thank you so much for your continued faithfulness. Thank you for your word, Father, that is a lamp into our feet and a light into our pathway. We're trusting, Father, for your word and your spirit to shine greater light in our lives today so that we can enjoy greater freedom in you today. We thank you for this and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, high five somebody right there next to you, right there at home, somebody in the house. Go ahead, find somebody. If you got nobody else, high five the dog if you got to. Come on, let them know we're getting ready to get into something. If you didn't already, make sure you share, invite some friends, do a watch party on Facebook, whatever the case may be, so that everyone can get in and be blessed by God's word. Now, again, we've been dealing with fact or friction. Now, the first week we were dealing with the friction that kind of comes up in our families and gave you several things to really focus in on there. Second week we were dealing with, you know, friction in our marriages, gave you several things. Listen, if you're married or you're dating or you're single thinking about dating, that's one that you want to definitely get a hold of, praise God. And then last week, or this past Sunday, we were dealing with friction, you know, in our money. Come on now, friction can really show up in the area of finances, so you want to make sure that you know how to respond to that God's way. You keep money in its proper place. Money is never to be your master. Money is to be your servant and your tool to work the will of God in the earth. But today I want to wrap up, you know, the whole series, and I want to deal with really the matter that I think that affects all of these. It's us. Come on, I'm talking about yourself. This whole issue now sometimes of the friction that can begin to develop within ourselves. Sometimes the greatest battle, matter of fact, I want to say sometimes, but all the time, the greatest battle is not from the outside. It's not people. It's the battle we have with ourselves. Come on, you remember what Paul, you know, expressed in Romans chapter 7? He's like, man, when I want to do what's right, I wind up doing what's wrong. He says, when the things that I know I shouldn't do, man, I wind up doing it. Come on now, that's friction. That's that tension, you know, between, you know, what he know he should do and what he wind up doing. And if you and I, if we're not careful, that friction within ourselves can spill over into our lives, and it winds up corrupting everything. So we want to deal with today friction in ourselves. Friction, you know, in ourselves, watch this, how we relate to God, how we relate to, you know, to people. This can really be a very, very serious matter if we are not careful. So I would argue that the friction that is the most dangerous in our lives is not the friction, again, with others, but it's actually this friction with ourselves. We need to be able to say to ourselves, self, we need to talk. Come on, matter of fact, why don't you just pause right there for a minute and just say, okay, self, we need to talk. Sometimes you need to talk to you. It's what's going on in you. Others sometimes can help point it out for you, but they can't resolve it. You got to deal with that yourself, with you and God. Have a sense of becoming self-aware. Augustine, a very popular Christian apologetic speaker and writer, said in 500 AD in his book, Confessions, he says this, how can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self? And I read this the other day. I was just like, man, that's good stuff. See, what he was trying to encourage and emphasize said, it's hard for you to really, you know, draw close to God when you won't really deal with you. You won't deal with what's really going on in you. You won't live a life, watch this, that is self-aware. And that's where we want to go today. Sometimes if you don't watch it, you can just wind up not paying attention to yourself. Anyone ever been at the grocery store and you seen, you know, this child running loose, maybe as, you know, mother, and she's shopping and the child is around doing all kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, you know, one of my family members was just sharing with me, they were on a flight and then one of the kids from someone else climbed over the seat, jumped in there with their kids and so forth. I mean, and the parents, they're not paying attention to anything. Come on now, anybody know what I'm talking about? You look at that kind of situation, you're like, what is going on? I never will forget one day, some years ago, I'm sitting in a McDonald's. I'm eating lunch. Took a little lunch break. I'm in McDonald's. I'm by myself, and I'm eating. And I had some chicken nuggets. Come on now, somebody know about them chicken nuggets. And I had some chicken nuggets, and I'm dipping it in my sauce. And now, maybe about three tables from me, there were these two kind of young adults and this little fella, little kid, who must have been maybe 2 years old, maybe three. And so he's over there eating and so forth, and he's making noise. He's having a fit. He's running all around. He's doing all kind of stuff. And I'm just looking like, man, they really need to get a hold of this child. The little fella gets up from his table, looks down to where I am, sees me and my food, comes over to my table, and as I lift up my head, that rascal grabbed a chicken nugget right off my table. I caught him by the hand and snatched that nugget back so fast. I was like, little boy, what is wrong with you? Sent him back on his way. Then, you know, then they came over like, oh, we apologize. He's just so bad. I was like, it ain't him. It's not him. It's y'all. They're not paying attention. Well, we all know people like that. We probably all experienced some situations like that where you see people just not paying attention. But sometimes the thing I want to help you to understand, sometimes that person is us. We're not paying attention to ourselves. You know, I've talked about in the past this whole issue where we wind up having blind spots and issues that wind up creeping up in our life that we're not paying attention to. We don't see it, but others do see it. And what God is calling for you and I is to spend enough time with him so that he can reveal to us the issues we need to address. Come on, the corrections we need to make. We need to spend enough time with the Spirit of God to allow him to kind of put his finger on different things and say, look, son, that's not what I want you doing. Come on, daughter. That's not the attitude I want you to carry. Come on now, son. That's not the way I want you to relate to money. Come on, son. That's not the way I want you to relate to people, daughter. We got to make sure that we're open to Almighty God. The psalmist, you know, says over in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way or ways of pain in me and lead me into the way everlasting. Come on. Reveal to me, praise God. This is the area of friction that winds up touching everything. When we make this whole, then marriage becomes whole. Family becomes whole. Come on. How we relate to finances becomes whole, praise God. Keep this in mind. Now, the Bible, Word of God, has a lot to say about us being self-aware. Matter of fact, let me read this to you out of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to read it for you here in this translation. Message translation says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, and he does, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life and place it before God as an offspring, or as an offering, excuse me. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Well, that's good wisdom there. Don't get adjusted to the culture. It says instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to his level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. This is all about us being transformed. But then verse 3, and this is where I really want us to lock in on, he goes on to say this. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then as every one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. Let me read the last part of that because I want that to really sink in. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and what God has done for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. This is absolutely, you know, phenomenal. That God says, if you really want to understand yourself, you got to get over into what it is, who I am, what I'm doing for you, what I've already done for you, praise God. That begins to bring a sense of self-awareness, a sense of self-revelation. You know, some translations say that you shouldn't think, you know, more highly of yourself than you ought. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with thinking high of yourself, but not too high. Come on now, don't get what we used to call a big head. Don't get conceited on things. Keep a sober impression of yourself. The first part of that passage, though, you know, is dealing with this whole matter of conformity, how we can wind up conforming to the things around us. You got to be real careful there. You know, growing up, you know, I had different, you know, particular toys that I liked. You know, some of y'all may remember the Etch-a-Sketch. Come on, who remember the Etch-a-Sketch? Come on, anybody have a Slinky out there? Who know about them Slinkies? Come on now, I put that thing and it popped down the stairs. That thing was great. I loved it, you know. But then one of my other favorites was what we call the Play-Doh. Come on now, somebody know about the Play-Doh. As a matter of fact, it's still out today. The Play-Doh, which is just nothing but, you know, kind of a glob of, of almost like heavy glue, you know, in that you could stretch and manipulate in all kind of different shapes. So, you know, you create different things for it. If you were really good, you had what was called the Play-Doh Fun Factory. Come on now. So then you could put that Play-Doh and grind out like some spaghetti or something of that nature. Come on now. Play-Doh was the stuff, praise God. I used to enjoy it. But you got to be careful because if you don't watch it, your life and mine can fall into a trap where we're getting molded by our world. We're getting molded by our culture. We're getting molded. Come on, let me talk to you. Getting molded by our skin color. Getting molded, you know, by, you know, our political affiliations. That's not what God called any of us to be molded by. He's called us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by his word. You and I, yeah, we should be clay. But watch this, the potter is always our father. That's what Jeremiah taught us in chapter 18. He is the potter, we are the clay. And here's what I like about it. Even when we mess up and we don't become all that he wants us to be, as the potter, he then starts to rework us so that he could still bring out his story into our lives. But be careful not to allow your lives to become Play-Doh, you know, to this world and wind up getting, you know, shifted and the like. The friction within ourselves can convince us that we have to sometimes look like or be like someone else in order to be accepted. Don't fall for that trap. We're tempted to believe that we just need to fit in with people around us so we conform. We let ourselves be pressed into this mold like Play-Doh. No, don't fall for that. Here's point number one for you. I'm gonna give you three today. Pleasing the world and culture and society is always going to create friction with God. See, ultimately, you're having friction with yourself because somewhere in there, there's some friction with you and God. There's somewhere in there that you're refusing to surrender all to him. There's friction there with God, and therefore it's creating this tension within yourself. And more times than not, it's because we have given over into this thing where we've allowed the world, the culture, and society to shape and mold us, and we're trying to please and maybe make everyone happy. You can't do it. Notice what the Word of God says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. Let me lock in on that. The sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature, listen, can never please God. Oh my. The sinful nature, our carnal nature, our nature that separates from God is always hostile towards God. See, I told you, it creates the tension. Now we got friction between us and God when we start to allow what's going on around us to start to shape us and to mold us into his pattern. You know, that word, you know, there, you know, for conform in some translations is literally meaning now to kind of set into a mold or a pattern. Got to be careful not to, you know, allow that. Just because, watch this, just because that's what everyone does, that doesn't mean that's what God's called you to. And listen, you want to spend enough time with God to allow him now to speak to you about you. Sometimes, you know, I've seen individuals and, you know, been doing marriage counseling and things like that for a number of years. And I'll encourage a couple to say, well, look, you know, go spend some time and pray first, you know, pray individually. And what the individuals will always normally make the mistake of doing is praying about the other person. Well, Father, you know, I'm praying that you help her get better. Father, help him be a better leader, you know, so on and so forth. But when they really slow down and get quiet long enough, here's what God begins to do, starts to speak to them, about you. See, you praying about your spouse, but God says, I want to talk to you about you. What about you and what I've called you to do? Slow down. Do not get caught trying to please the world and this culture. Because when you do, it is going to create friction. We need to develop, obviously, new patterns that help us grow in our relationship with God. So you want to have good patterns. Watch this. Reading the Bible is a good pattern to have. I've been reading the Bible now, you know, every year, you know, throughout the year. Now, for I guess about the last 5 years, been doing it. Did it, you know, several times before that. But the last 5 years just been now just a pattern, you know, that we have. You know, just every day, you know, I do some Bible reading so that throughout the course of the year, you know, I read the entire Word of God. And here is the most interesting thing. Every year I see stuff that I've never seen before. Never seen it before. Clearly I've read it before, but I didn't see it before. Did you catch that? So you can read it, but you may not see it. You got to slow down. Slow down so that you can clearly see what the Spirit of God is saying. That's a good pattern to have. It makes us better. Prayer is not a pattern that's a part of our world. As a matter of fact, much of our world now frowns upon prayer. Just like that's not needed. We need more than that. You know, you hear this kind of hostility towards prayer. And sadly enough, I've heard many Christians even kind of chime in the same way. I mean, that makes no sense to me. But that's a pattern from God that makes us, watch this, more like Jesus. You want to have these kind of patterns. You want to have a pattern of forgiveness. Forgiveness, listen, is not a pattern of the world. The world's pattern is I'm going to hold you accountable and you're going to pay a price. You're going to pay a price. You better understand what is behind a whole lot of what's going on in our culture today is a spirit of revenge where there's a refusal to forgive. Forgiveness is now what makes us free. You want to be free? Come on, learn how to forgive. See, when these patterns are in our lives, oh yeah, there's going to be friction. Because the world is trying to pull us a different way, but you hold on to it. Hold on to a pattern of staying in God's word. Hold on to a pattern of prayer. Hold on to a pattern of forgiveness and walking in love. Here's the second point I want to give to you. That's two fingers. And that is, know your soul. Know your soul. In other words, what's your life story? Now, this is good. You know, over the past couple of months, you know, my wife and I have been talking about this, you know, just about our story. And what's our story? Taking the time to really kind of look back and reflect on what God has been doing in our lives in pivotal, you know, years. Sometimes you can just get so caught up in doing life that you're not appreciating the life that God has given you. So you just kind of begin to slow up. And then, interesting enough, you know, I'd share with you, I've gone back to school, and now I find myself in a class where I have to do a life map and various other kind of self-reflection. I'm just like, okay, God, you're up to something on this. I need to make sure I'm paying attention, you know, where I'm just reflecting on the pivotal moments, you know, in my life and making sure that I tell my story. If to no one else, watch this, to me. Share it with my family, too. That's beneficial. Know your soul. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, King James Version, it starts off this way. It says, "And that you study to be quiet." Now, that's really interesting. That has, you know, various kind of implications. Study to be quiet. All of us need to have some quiet time with God. Now, here's what I find that religion does. Quiet time makes people uncomfortable. So just kind of sitting there to kind of hear and receive from God and allow God to begin to speak to you about you can be uncomfortable. So people then start to fill it with noise. So they start to say things. If they don't know what to say, they say, you know, religious things like hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. No. Just learn how to be quiet sometime. Prayer is this dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. If you're not hearing anything, listen, you're not praying. That's religion. Prayer is, yeah, you're communicating some things, but then you're also capturing God's heart in return. And the only way you do that, you've got to have some time where you can just be quiet. You hold yourself, you know, in a posture where you can receive. Oh, yeah. I remember some years ago, I would kind of make these drives. Sometimes I was driving from Jacksonville to Orlando on a regular basis. So it was about a two-hour drive. And so I would make it a point, you know, for those 2 hours, I'm just going to spend this time praying. I'm going to pray. I'm going to say some things. But then I'm going to have a season, too, where I just get quiet. And a lot of times, after I start doing it for a while, that I didn't have to kind of set like a timer to it. I would start to pray for a little bit, and then I could start sensing the Spirit of God, you know, kind of speaking things. And then I just knew, shut up. Be quiet. Let me hear what the Spirit of God is saying about me. You know, here we were going down to Everglades Correctional Facility before this whole pandemic. And so that would be, you know, a 45-minute to an hour drive, you know, from my house. And, you know, I'd go out there in the morning. So I'd make it a point, like, hey, I'm going to take this drive time just to spend with God. Hear what he's saying. You got to have some time where you learn how to just simply be quiet and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. You know, over in Psalm 42, verse 5 says this. The psalmist says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, praise God, and my God." This is great. Because with this psalmist, what you hear going on, he's plumbing the depths of his heart. Say, why am I so quiet here? Why am I discouraged? Listen, that's a great question to ask ourselves. Anytime you may start to feel, not your best, you ought to ask yourself, wait a minute, what's going on? Why am I feeling so discouraged? Here it is now. I belong to the King of Kings. Here it is now. His blood has been shed for me. Here it is now. I'm walking around with the presence of Almighty God on the inside of me. Why am I so discouraged? But he's being honest with himself. And he's trying to go deep into his self so that he can be more aware of what is causing him to kind of drift a little bit from God in the revelation of how good his God is. It is something that we want to make sure that we are employing in our lives. Learn how to be quiet. Spend some time with your Father in a listening posture. God, show up. Come on. Show up into your prayer closet and be like, God, I'm just here for whatever it is you want to say to me. I'm going to be quiet and I listen. What if I don't hear anything? I don't get it. And as a matter of fact, you know, God doesn't speak to everybody. Listen, you speak to all your children. Why would you think God wouldn't want to speak to you? Oh, yeah, absolutely he does. If you haven't heard him, it's not because he's not speaking. You got to get yourself in a different position, in a different posture. He wants to speak clearly to you. Over the last several months, of course, we've been dealing with this pandemic, this social unrest, the constricting economy, racial disparity. Come on now, just the 24/7 news cycle, social media, it's just so much stuff. If you don't watch it, it can contribute to this kind of internal, state of friction. Be careful of those things. Sometimes, listen, here's the point. Turn that stuff off. Have some time, just like, I'm not dealing with that anymore. I ratcheted back my social media, time. I just pulled that back, a couple of platforms. I'm just like, I'm not even going on there. I haven't been on Twitter in I don't know how long. Haven't been on Instagram in how long. Every now and then I still kind of go out to Facebook. But then I have learned I'm not scrolling the timeline anymore because there's some crazy stuff out there. Okay, I'll leave that alone for right now. And if you don't watch it, the things can begin to create this friction on the inside of you. Learn to be quiet. Last one is this. Let God reveal you to you. Let God reveal you to you. So we're talking about being self-aware, but to be self-aware, you have to not try to be self-taught about yourself. You have to go to the source. You got to go to the manufacturer. Let God reveal you to you. There's so many different voices out here. And the Word of God talks about it. They're just various voices, many, with distinction. You got to be careful of all the voices that are coming in, that you got to learn how to tune those out and hone into the voice of the Spirit of the living God that's speaking unto you. Lock into His voice. Find out what His voice is. Come on now, that sweet spot of listening to Him. Turn down those other things. And that's where the benefit of, turning down and turning off social media and not, getting caught in the 24/7 news cycle can be of great benefit to you. In Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says this. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. Yeah, this thing is not dead. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. And then here's the part, lock in on this. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Woo. Come on now. The Word of God exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Listen, you want to understand yourself better? Let God reveal you to you. And that means you go back to this Word. This word now exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. We begin to see ourselves more clearly so that we know how to serve Him more wonderfully, worshipfully. Yeah, but that comes from making sure we keep drawing up close to that word. Verse 13 goes on and says this. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't hide from God. God sees it when nobody else sees it. God knows about it before everybody else knows about it. God is aware of it before you can ever explain it. And all He's saying is, son, daughter, just come to me. Come to me, come to my word, and allow my word now to begin to reveal to you yourself, your true nature, your true character, who I've designed for you to be. And let it point out those hurtful areas in your life. Come on now, we all got it. And I was reading this one book the other day and just talking about this fact that, everyone, if you don't watch it, you wind up having a dark side. Somebody say, oh, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I don't have a dark side. But then, you know, somebody does something to you and you wind up cussing people out. Well, you don't think that came from the Spirit of God side, do you? Yeah, that's that carnality that still tries to rise up. You got to know how to shine light on that and say, you know what? I got to give attention there. I got to transform that area. That's an area now that I haven't allowed God to fully come in and work with me on. I haven't surrendered fully there. God, I yield unto you. That's our heart. That is our prayer, that we want to make sure that we stand before God in. So with that, come on, I need everybody right there where you are. Lift up your hands with me. Father, we bless you and magnify your wonderful name. Help us, Lord God, to see ourselves the right way. Listening intently to your voice, drawing closer and closer to your Spirit, so that we can indeed, Father, be more and more like you. Point out to us, sir, those ways, habits, attitudes that are not pleasing to you. And Daddy, we trust your grace to be present so that we may indeed rise above them and overcome them and live out the life that you have called us unto. We thank you, Lord God. Friction may show up, but we choose not to give in to it. We will not be conformed to this world. No matter what is said, no matter what is done, no matter what is encouraged, we hold to you and we hold to your word. And we commit to stay in this posture of being transformed by you, by the renewing of our mind, as we continue to engage with you and your word. So we thank you for this, sir. We thank you, Father, that our 2021 shall be oh so sweet, because we have chosen to be all in with you. We love you. We thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Lift up your hands with me right there at home. Come on. Let's just worship God right here in this moment. Come on. Speak to me, Lord. Let that be the cry of your heart. Yeah, speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. And listen, if you say, you know, I'd love to be able to hear from God like this, but I mean, I just haven't been able to do it. Start with his word. Right now, you feel like you're not sensing anything on the inside. I get that. Just start with his word. Start spending more time in there. Come on, have a daily Bible reading plan. Have some time where you then also start to study what God is saying. Because there's a difference between reading and studying. And as you start from that point, it'll start to develop your spiritual ears, where you'll be able to recognize his voice better and better. And as a result, I declare, and God's already declared, you will walk blessed. Amen. Listen, strongly encourage you to take advantage of this. Set some time up here quickly to have some quiet time before Almighty God and allow him to speak to you. Love you. Bless you. We look forward to seeing you on Palm Sunday. And again, for Resurrection Sunday, Sunday morning, be ready. We're going to have a great time to celebrate. Have an awesome Wednesday, and we'll see you soon. Bye.